all your families and friends. Because you still have a quote from Liza Minnelli, from Cabaret, from the song of the same name. Anita, life is a cabaret, my friend. I love you, and I'll always remember the good times. Thank you.
Walk up there with the
just like when I go to the Oscars, I always have a note. Another of his best friends, Verona, asked me if I would say a few words about the very special friendship that we shared with Anita. As you know, Anita worked at Grimey House, and as you know too, it was a very big part of her life, and quite a few of the Grimey House friends are here today. And remember what great fondness our winner for the nation. So, I'll just repeat it. A little note. Sorry. So, Anita, Verona, Avon, Mary Lee, and I all worked together at Grimey House in the late 1980s. Our friendship continued long after we left Grimey House and moved on to other things. Quite a number of years ago, we started to meet once a month at the Refuge Club, and we used to call our little get-togethers Smell the Roses. So during these gatherings, we would chat up a storm and talk about everything under the sun. One of us invariably would have some drama in our lives, and we needed input and support of all of us with thrashing out. But invariably, we would talk about our days at Grimey House. Now, while many of us couldn't tell you something that happened 5 minutes ago, we could talk about the wonderful days at Grimey House 40 years ago. Anita loved Grimey House, and the women and children loved Anita. I remember on one of my first training shifts with her, when we were talking about, you know, how you work with women and your counseling program, whatever, and she said to me very straight-faced, "I usually wear a pin which says, 'Take my advice, I know this.'" Now, this was said by the woman who could do everything. She will always be remembered for the wonderful photographs she took of those years. She took beautiful portraits of the women and the children. And I heard from many of these women that they were the first photographs and only photographs they ever had of themselves and their children. We too, all of us, have the photographs of those years, the protests, the rallies, the shape back the night marches, and of course, the parties. Now, we four can bear testament to the record, to this record that we have of all these photographs and mementos, which Anita's dear children have given us to sort out. As is well documented, Anita was a woman of remarkable talents, and she could indeed do everything. She was a brilliant artist. She could make beautiful art out of anything. Her cooking skills were legendary. We all have memories of sumptuous meals. Remember that bread in that picture, and Anita was making the most beautiful bread for our weekly orders. Yeah. She was also a minus information on absolutely everything. Her home was in a lion's cave of useful objects and products. No matter what implement or product you needed, she would say, just a minute, and then she would produce it. I would also say that among all her many talents and accomplishments, she had the amazing gift of friendship. I think this is testament to it. I remember being in her house one night, and she was FaceTiming with her friend Gail. They had been friends since they were 5 years old. Gail recently came to visit Anita, and we got the chance to meet her. And it was quite amusing, because although they were in their face, they were arguing back and forth that they were 5 years old. Yes, Anita was a great friend. It didn't matter who you were or what you did. She had the power to make you feel that you were the most talented, most interesting, most clever person in the world. I remember when I first came to Canada and started with 2 weeks at Brownie House. And I was going to get the appendix, and I was lying in the hospital late at night, and I heard this funny little rattle and a giggle. And around the corner came about 11 o'clock, maybe later at night, came Anita and everyone of them ran. She rounded them up, and I don't know how she got past security, but she did. And she made me laugh so much, I almost burst with tears. But that was Anita. Any time you were in trouble or difficulty, always, she was the first person on your doorstep. So it's hard to imagine a world without Anita. A great loss to her. Wonderful, wonderful family. Most of all, it has been lovely to meet them. Some I knew before, but to meet her other children. But the funny thing was, I felt I knew them so well from our, you know, conversations at the residence club, when she would tell us funny stories about when you were young, about what you were doing now, about all of your wonderful accomplishments. She was just wonderful. So she'll also be missed by her many friends. As Verona rightly says, she was our sister friend. She lived a life of great service and leaves a rich legacy in the archival history of the causes that were close to her heart. And I am very grateful to have known you.
One quick story, because there was another side to my aunt and uncle. When I was a young adult, she very kindly gave me a gift one day, a big bag of pinto beans. And of course, I loved her cooking, so I was pretty excited to get these beans. I had never seen them before in Canada. So I'm ready to use them, so I give her a call. Auntie, how do I prepare these? She said, okay, here's the instructions. First you boil them, then you let them cool, then you peel them, then you fry them. Okay, thank you. And so I boiled my beans, and I let them cool, and I started peeling. And peeling them. Peeling them. And finally I pulled her out and said, Anita, is there an easier way to do this? Yep, thanks. That was my Aunt Anita. Thank you.
originally from Halifax. But I got to know Anita the first winter that I lived here, which was 1991. And at that point, it was wonderful for me to move to a place where we had roomers, and I could go, and I went all the time. And I met other people who went all the time. Some, of course, of us were drinking too much. But so one night I was leaving roomers with a friend, and we were walking up the hill, and she says, "Oh, let's go visit Anita. You should meet Anita. You really should meet Anita." I'm like, "We can't visit Anita. It's 2 o'clock in the morning." She's like, "Oh, yes, we can. It'll be fine. Anita will have a big pot of food on the stove, and there'll be a bunch of people there. We can visit Anita. You will love her. You will. It will be great." And with a little more arguing, she persuaded me, and a great friendship was born. So, yes, I will miss her greatly.
Hi, can everyone hear me? My head just swims. Sorry?
What's your name?
Liz McDougall. My name is Liz McDougall, and Anita was a mainstay in my life for at least 40 years. And I don't know her through work directly, but some of you here might know Kathleen Tatlock, who was a very, very close friend of Anita. And one day, I was at the Art College, and Kathleen worked there, and I was doing video, and then Anita was a photographer, so Kathleen didn't tell me what we were up to this day. She just said, "There's someone you have to meet." It's a little bit like Betsy's story. "Someone you have to meet." So we went to a building, and we climbed up an elaborate set of stairs, and we went inside, and there was this woman there who was just, I felt just really animated, and like you got that off of her right away. She's very animated, very colorful, but also, I don't know the word for this, not mysterious, but like a trickster, like not telling you everything. So I would say, "Well, what's this? But why do you do that?" She would just laugh, and she would say, "Tell you another time," or whatever. And her whole house was full. This was the one that she lived in now. Her whole house was full, like the walls were painted, and everything on the counter was painted or decorated. Like the whole place was so busy, and there were photographs everywhere. And so I really enjoyed meeting her. I really did not know what to think of this person I met. It was like kind of overwhelming, and but I trusted Kathleen. And so then the next time I saw Anita was on a political protest, and Anita was there with the camera, and I was there with the video camera. So then I realized, well, Anita, she knows everybody here. She knows how to connect with people, and not just photograph it the way a newspaper person would.
Excuse me.
But to get right in there, get close to people, and find out what they're about. And I was wanting to make videos, like documentaries, so I started to follow Anita. And so then Anita kind of, she almost kind of took me in as a creative person. And I met, like, I felt like I met everyone in her life. I eventually got to know each of her family, who I love. And Verona and Yvonne and all different people who, and the thing about going to her place at 2 a.m. and finding people and food and whatever. So every time I went to Anita's house, she would feed me, whether I was hungry or not, I had to be fed. And then I would ask her, "How did you make this?" It's the same story. "How did you make this?" And she would never ever explain to me how she made any of this food. But wow, what a cook. right? Yeah. Anybody who's had her food, it's just like, wow, magical food. So I really adore all of you and everybody who is a friend to Anita. She, I mean, believe it or not, Anita was quite a hiker, and we went rock climbing through the woods all the time. We had our cameras with us. She saw things like patterns. Like if you were in the woods, like I'm a hiker. I was in the woods all the time. But when I went in the woods with Anita, she could see where little animals had passed. She could see everything about the woods. She would notice every detail, every kind of tree, every leaf, every flower. She would get down on her hands and knees to take a picture of a little flower, and then these would become these stunning, memorable photos that Anita would take. So she was my role model, my mentor, my very best friend in many ways, and I love her from the bottom of my heart. And I'm so happy that everybody's here today and that I get to share some of that meeting with you. It just means a lot.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on the scene patterns. I went to visit Anita a few weeks ago. I'm a friend from Lamplight Housing Co-op, and we decided to play a game of Scrabble. Anita kicked my ass. It was, but this is Anita. She started out very slow and kind of giggled and was a little shy, and I was feeling like, for once I might win in Scrabble. I was actually having some good letters and doing fine, and Anita was like, oh, this is not working for me. And she even forfeited a turn and got all new letters, and then she pulled out like a 65 and an 80, and I just like, and she's like, oh, little me. Right from the start. She was always very charming, but I guess the way I mostly knew her was her friendship with Mike in the co-op, who was also a good friend of mine, and she was always very worried about Mike and couldn't always check up on him. And Mike would often forget to put his phone on so that Anita would worry about him. And I am not a night owl. As my family's in the back row knows, 9 o'clock comes and I'm like, out of here. But Anita would phone me at 9 or 10 or 11. And of course, when someone phones you at night, you're like, oh my God, what's happening? So Anita would say, Elizabeth, I don't want to worry you, but, you know, if you could. And you know how Anita would do it, be very charming. And then she'd like, could you go and walk over to Mike's and make sure he was okay? So this is Anita and I's relationship. It was with Anita, I, and Mike, and either Mike would be worried about Anita or Anita would be worried about Mike, and I'd be the one walking back and forth. And I learned so much from the both of them about what caring meant and what community meant, and even when you couldn't do it yourself, you bring in the rest of the community to help you do that care. So thank you, Anita, and obviously she has impacted so many people in that way, and let's go forth and carry it on.
I'm going to tell two stories while I'm carrying Mike to Lynn. The first is, they're both about her photography. The first is, we were doing an event, and Anita always took all the pictures of the event. And she said, okay, we're going to do a group photo. And I think all of you know how freaking amazing she was with Photoshop, right? She was a Photoshop wizard. She could make things, anything disappeared and anything appeared. And so we're doing this photo shoot, or no, just the last, it was the last event. It was one of the things that we did together that she delighted in was, these things called the GSAs, and we would take a bunch of elderberries, and they would sit in front of our classroom full of grade nines, usually, and they would ask us any questions. Any questions at all were allowed. And we would generally get them to write the questions on cards and pass them out to me to answer questions. And Anita would take the picture of all of us together at the end. So Anita would be there with her camera, and she'd be like, you guys spread apart just a little bit for no reason. And someone said, Anita, but you're not going to be in the photo. And she said, oh, yes, I will be. And the other one was from Waves magazine. We used to, Waves, published for the last 40 years for a great deal of that. Anita was our photographer, and there would be a thing happening, and we'd go and take pictures and submit. I want one picture. I get 150. But remember that Anita's business card doesn't read photographer. Her business card reads photographic artist. And so there was a thing, we got a protest or something. Anita sent in the pictures for it. Chris O'Coin was in the picture. And I said, Anita, Chris wasn't at this event. Chris is in Ottawa. And Anita said, oh yeah, but he wanted to be there.
Newsletter of Elderberries, and Anita was the graphics editor and provided all the pictures for it. But we had another aspect to our relationship, which was I was the chief nagger. And the nagging aspect was, Anita, you have thousands of photographs. Those have to go into an archive. I nag like that for most of the 40 years, and eventually, I guess she was convinced because her work is either in the archives already or is soon going to be. I have one story about Anita and her scarf collection. We were out one morning to brunch at Smitty's, and Anita said, oh yeah, what have you been up to lately? And I said, oh yeah, a couple of days ago was my birthday, and my sister came down from Spring Hill. Oh, she said, it was your birthday, and I didn't know about it. And she reached into her coat and hauled out this absolutely beautiful silk scarf and said, happy birthday.
Who's up next? No way. Yep.
Hi everyone, my name is Arena. I got to know Anita over the last 2 months or so, and her daughters, Lorianne and Leanne. I have been working on a short documentary film about Anita, and particularly her photographic documentation of the Wild Women Don't Get the Blues weekends. If anyone from those weekends is present today, and I think some of you are, and would like to talk to me, I would be very excited to speak with you. And just on a personal note, getting to know Anita has been a tremendously special experience. She was an extraordinary woman and so beloved, as obviously we can see by the number of people in this room, and had a way of immediately making you feel like family. She was very special, and I'm so honored to have gotten to know her and to be able to tell some of her story. And thank you so much, Lori and Leanne, because that wouldn't be possible without your support. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Eric. A few things. First, my claim that Anita was my best friend is that when I was forced out of my home community and moved to the city, I don't know, I guess she decided I was a bit naive, so she claimed to be my second mother, which included phone calls telling me that she was downstairs, she had cooked something that she'd come down and pick up. It also involved trying to set me up with guys that she thought were appropriate for me. She was never very good at it, I have to say. Either that or I had very poor choices myself. The second thing I want to mention is that there was another group of people Anita worked with that most people probably don't know about. And that has to do with people with HIV and AIDS. In 1988, I was involved with a group who set up the original Nova Scotia Persons with AIDS Coalition. At the time, it was all gay men. But suddenly, Anita showed up at the office with her cameras, of course. And she did several things. First of all, she provided a beer. Back in those days, having HIV was much more serious than it is today, simply because of the lack of information most people had. So a lot of our clients were actually young gay men who had been kicked out of their homes, especially guys from rural Nova Scotia. So Anita was there to lend an ear, to cook meals. The greatest thing that she did, I think, though, is that she started taking pictures of these young men. Much the same with the women's shelter. Some of these young men had never really had a collection of photos taken of themselves. In some cases, these men were near death. But that didn't stop Anita. And it's amazing, you know, the first one she did, Frank Morton, it was amazing how many shots she could get from someone lying in a hospital bed. And at the same time, he had the biggest smile on his face. And she did that for many of the young men. The tradition with the coalition was that when someone died, we put up on, we had a memorial wall, and most of those pictures were taken by Anita. And I think the organization, the current organization that works with people with HIV and AIDS, actually still has some of those original pictures up. So that is a different group that she was involved in, which doesn't get much mention, but I think it's important to remember.
God, I'm feeling
and shy. It's not my normal. I lived in 69 Petrel Street with Anita for, I think, 16 years. She moved in right after my mom died, so I was 34. And I raised my two children. And for my children, I think she feels like their grandma. And they were very sad. Going home from Rumors to Anita's is a very fun story, which I did many, many, many times. I always drank too much as well. One time I kind of kicked my daughter, and she fell and hit her head on the stove and went downstairs, and I'm like freaking out. It's like, oh my God, I've abused my daughter. Nita just takes me in her arms, and it's like, oh my God, Denise, we all hurt our daughters. It's like, you're a normal mother. Anyway, I have many, many stories. Don't ever grow peppermint in your garden.
Okay, well, I tell one last Anita story. These are Werther's. Has anyone ever driven with her? My son Will and I traveled quite a bit, and she always insisted on taking us to the airport and picking us up. And I only once made the mistake of not calling her and taking a taxi, and that didn't go over very well. But you get into her car, and this is crunch in your feet, these things, and then we'd eat Werther's all the way to the airport. And we didn't drive there so much as we careened to the airport. I think the Werther's would just calm my nerves. But we always arrived. We arrived safely. And I was feeling really good knowing that the most dangerous part of the journey was over. And I could get on with things. So I think it's safe enough to say that she captured our images, and she also captured our hearts. And with that, I will hand this back to the Reverend. And the stories don't have to stop here. We're continuing in a little while down at Resolutes with the glass and some munchies likely. The author, Chris Radish, a number of years ago, wrote a wonderful novel called Annie Freeman's Fabulous Traveling Funeral. It is the story of five people taking the trip of a lifetime to take the ashes of their dear friend Annie to all of her favorite haunts. And that's exactly what's going to happen with our vivacious Anita, who is at the moment here in her camera bag, but not for long. If I can think of anywhere Anita would have wanted to go, it is not to sit in the middle of Camp Hill Cemetery under a slab of granite, but to travel with the people that she loved to places that meant something to her. And so it is that we conclude our gathering to commemorate the passing of one who walked with us, keeping in our hearts the memories that we cherish and the love that we knew because Anita shared her life with us. We commit her to the keeping of eternal peace. The traditional words, yes, are earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. All of these, but they are also memory to memory, story to story, blessing to blessing, strength to strength, gratitude to gratitude, and love to love. Life and not death has the final word. We are beckoned forward from this time and space with gratitude. So may we see the world and all the colors in it through Anita's eyes. And in the words of Reverend Dr. Brian Baker,
The world now is too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. Love is a blessing. May our eyes be so blessed that you see God in everyone. Your lips that you speak nothing but the truth. Your ears that you hear the cry of the poor. May your hands be so blessed that everything you touch becomes a sacrament. Your feet so that you run to those who need you. And may your heart be so opened, so set on fire, that your love changes everything. Our final words of blessing to one another are found in your programs. It is a sung blessing. We, as the women next door, are going to start us off. And when you're comfortable, we invite you to join in with us.
And there are words, but there aren't that many, so you have to be fast.